Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels to short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. We are 1 minute late, listeners and viewers. We were just talking about our heights backstage.
Very important stuff this morning.
So
we were dissecting that.
Why don't you take a guess? Because you only see us sitting down, viewers. How tall do you think Sarah and I are? I'd be curious to see what you think.
Just from our faces. Great. By the way, my height is always a topic of discussion, by the way. So those
are tiny. It is because she's tiny.
Oh yes, super tiny. So tiny.
But I'm glad to be back. Glad to be back with you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So good morning. Tell us where you are joining us from. And then also let us know how tall you think we are.
That's our new roll call today. Love seeing super fan Jeremy. You're here. We love seeing you here, Jeremy.
And then next week you can guess how old we are.
Well, Stella Ross got one of our heights, 5'7". We won't say who.
I am 30 and 6 foot. Okay, thanks, Jeremy. What's important to get the bed length? We both fit on beds.
We fit in hotel beds. Our feet don't hang out at the bottom. 6 foot.
That's hilarious, Jeremy.
Well, we love seeing everyone joining us. We've got Israel joining us. We got North Bay Village. We've got a bunch of other countries. And I think we broke a record last show with so many different countries.
Adele in Charleston. Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah, so that was amazing to see. And we just got some news backstage that, we're going to share this at the top of here.
I think you should share it.
I should share it. Well, I was excited. So Good Morning Hospitality hit the official Apple podcast charts. At number 116, and they only do the top 200. So thank you to all of you for listening. We're climbing the charts.
Yes, for business news, by the way. So we were rated 116th top podcast for business news. I think that's pretty dope.
It's amazing. Of the millions of podcasts out there, and we're up there at 116 with our crew. Good Morning Hospitality out there. So congrats to everybody.
Yeah, congrats for joining us. This is a lot of fun. And of course, obviously, we try to keep it interesting. We want to talk about the topics that are obviously of important, you know, things that you want to hear, but then also maybe some things that just kind of keep us like on our toes.
Mm-hmm. Right? I agree with you. We love those headlines. We like things that keep us thinking and entertain us, most importantly, too.
This is true. So that being said, why don't we go ahead and talk about some hotel topics?
Let's do it.
Okay. This is a big week for Miami. This is today. Right?
Yes, today is the day. Why don't you tell what's happening today?
Today is the day. Okay, so the brand new, it's not Miami.
Our brand is going, exactly.
Sorry, my caffeine hasn't kicked in yet, guys. You gotta forgive me. Brand new Fontainebleau is opening in Las Vegas today. So for those that are familiar with the Fontainebleau, obviously from Miami, it's opening in Las Vegas. This is a really fast, I actually did a little bit of a deep dive. I did not know this history, but it was originally scheduled to be built and I think probably launched in 2009. They basically had about 75% of this property built in 2009. Then obviously we all know there was an economic crash then they never were able to complete it. Different ownership happened. And then basically the original, if I'm correct, the original people then ended up rebuying it back. And in 2021, and here we are, 67 stories, 3,644 rooms, the brand new Fountain Blue in Las Vegas. What do you have to add to that?
Opening today, and you nailed it. As someone who's born and raised here in Miami and had my bar mitzvah at the Fontainebleau in Miami.
No, you Beach did? Hotel.
Yeah. It's got a special place in my heart.
Oh, you fancy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was the Hilton Fontainebleau back there. And that's why I got started in hotels, was because of that hotel. My dad was the attorney for that hotel. And so it holds a special place. Because of your bar mitzvah? Not my bar mitzvah. My dad was always there. And I was there.
In the middle of the bar mitzvah, you're like, I'm going to work.
This is where I'm going to work. But kind of like that. And so it's a beautiful place. And if you have a chance right after this, go check out some of the photos from this place because it looks incredible. They brought some of that Miami lifestyle out to Vegas. And the mass of this place is gigantic. 3,644 rooms.
Yeah.
Bananas. The one here in Miami Beach is the largest and it's 1,400 rooms. But this is almost triple the size. That's, I don't even know how you manage a place that big. You Las Vegas guys are unreal.
I have to say, I think for me, that's what's always so fast. I go to Vegas and I just sit there and I look around and I'm like trying to understand the operations of any of the properties there, because it's so, I mean, the largest property I ever worked in probably had 225 rooms. Like I always worked in properties that had about 200 to 225 rooms in larger cities, but like that is next level.
Yes, the largest I've been was 800 rooms. And what I found out, talking to my friends at the Fontainebleau, who came from Vegas, they said, Steve, as you get bigger, it actually gets easier because you have more layers of people to be able to accomplish all the things that you want to do. And so really, you're just kind of working departmental levels, department by department, having your meetings, making sure those guys are doing okay. And it's actually seems like a little bit easier. But hey, I had never done it, but I can visualize it a little bit. But what I like seeing, I'm going to give a shout out to my home city, is that they're bringing the brands out of Miami. Usually you see brands from New York or LA or Chicago come into cities. Now the Miami brands are heading out. So they have, I think, 36 restaurants, and a lot of them are Miami brands that they're bringing. So you're going to have some of that Miami sexiness and flashiness hitting the streets of Vegas. So I'm excited to see all that happening. And
that's
some friends
cool.
that are going to be there.
Speaking of, and maybe we can figure out how to do this, but I'm going to be in your neck of the woods next week. We didn't talk about this behind the scenes, so we'll have to continue that conversation, but I'm going to be in Florida, in Hollywood. So
we're definitely
going to
meet up for sure. You're a short drive away. So if you're there, we got to meet up for sure.
Yes, definitely. Okay. So continuing on our topics, Frederica joining us from Italy. This I thought was actually kind of funny. We've all worked in hotels. How many of us have had incidences where a guest loses something, or they certainly like insist on losing, or that they've lost something and it becomes like a whole big to do. So at the Ritz Hotel in Paris, a guest, their ring went missing. And it, this ring, by the way, was worth about $800,000.
Yes, you heard that right. $800,000 on your
finger. Just shy of $1 million. Okay, just shy. Because the $1 million one was just like a little bit too much out of the price range. But so basically, she lost her ring. She put it on the nightstand the night before and then couldn't find her ring. Where did they end up finding it, Steve?
Well, and if you know, working in hotels, especially something like this, it's like red alert goes off. And I see Steven Sinclair saying, we know, found and lost and found.
Yeah,
no, bounty. It was not found and lost and found.
No,
I actually,
it was not.
I have a story about a Rolex that I thought I was going to keep, but they came back on the last day
that
I was able to do it. So, but this was found inside of a vacuum cleaner bag. So imagine that, going through all the vacuums, going through the vacuum bags, cutting those things open, looking through all the dirt and grossness to find the diamond, and they found it. So the Ritz Hotel ended up finding that bag, or that diamond in that vacuum bag.
By the way, I don't know that when I think about all the different items that people claim to have lost, I don't know that anybody's gone to the extent of looking in the vacuum bags.
Garbage. I've done garbage a lot. I've done laundry, like going through all the dirty stuff in the laundry. Yeah, definitely.
I've dug through some garbage. That not a proud moment, but that's when you got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Like, especially big ticket items like this, because it's I've gone through it and it's you stole it. Like, we didn't steal your $800,000 ring. That's the first thought.
Yeah, right? always. Which is so fascinating to me. Look, is it to say that things don't get stolen? Yeah, things do get stolen. But I do feel like, and obviously it depends on the hotel, depends on where, but in general, it's like, it's not worth it. And the people that they're normally claiming are the ones that are stealing. I'm like, they're not doing that. Mm-hmm. That's not how that's happening. So I do feel like this is a bit of, oh, it's often found in their suitcase. That's this is true. Correct.
They get this home, they're like, oh, so sorry, I found it.
And yeah.
Antonio's good to see Antonio.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
but have you found anything? Because I have my story. If you found something that you thought you were getting lost, found or had a story like this, I was working for Viceroy Hotels, mm-hmm. and there was a woman and a lady sitting at a table, had a Rolex there, left it. And they didn't make a reservation. They were walk-ins and they weren't hotel guests.
Okay. Oh.
And so part of that lost and found in a lot of hotels is you get to keep that item if no one comes to find it after a certain amount of days. I think it's 90 days.
90 days, 60, 90 days, depending.
So after the first couple of days, like, nah, they're going to come back and find it. And then it got to day 85. And then we had a countdown in lost and found of when Steve was getting this brand new blinged out Rolex.
No.
And on day 89 and a half at Stop like 10 it. p.m., they're like, hey, I think we left a Rolex at the hotel. I actually bought it for a client and she didn't know I had bought it for her. I thought I had given it to her and she didn't know she was receiving it. So we just left it there. And I only found out. So I missed out on my Rolex that day, but I did turn it in and I didn't steal it. And we had it and we delivered it to them on that 89th and a half day.
That's insane.
Yeah.
You could be a proud. Do you even know what the type of Rolex? No, we don't need to turn into that.
I looked it up. It was a lot. Let's just say it was more than a regular one.
What are the chances, by the way, that day 89 and a half, like right before the cutoff?
I was pumped up and we had a countdown going. We were ready.
Oh my God. I can't believe that you got everybody. Like, that's insane. That is insane. How often are they just trying to, hotel guests are always trying to get some form of compensation just because they're disgruntled guests. Yeah. Yes.
And Adele said under the cloth at the bottom of the safe.
There's so many different places that people could have, you know, this person could have put her ring.
Yep. But on the floor, fell off her finger, got vacuumed up, housekeeper just going about their day. Or was it more sinister and they actually did take it and then had to make up a story? No, I don't think the Ritz would do that.
No, I don't think, no, definitely not. Definitely not. But yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. I was working at the hotel. I don't know if you guys remember, but from several years ago, there was Lupito Nyong'o. She was up for a bunch of awards. It was the year that like she was just winning all these awards it was before she won the Oscar, and she wore this famous pearl dress, and the pearl dress went missing at my hotel. And it was like all over the news. We had like news trucks, like outside in the back, etc. And it was wild because I think the biggest thing was the general manager went downstairs to meet with the police. And not only did he go to meet with the police, but then TMZ was there. So it was very much the police were like hand in hand with TMZ to get breaking news of the story. Fast forward, the dress resurfaced. There's more details I don't need to share here, but it was this like whole thing of like, where did this dress go? And like people coming up with the story, like somebody took it and then they like climbed from one room to another. I'm like, nobody was scaling the outside of this hotel for this pearl dress. Like, what? But
it's not behind you right there. I see something shining behind you.
Oh, wait, hold on. Don't look behind me. Obviously not. My gosh. No, I have no desire to take anything that belongs to anybody else. Anyway, that's a whole other world. There are stories for days. We might have to dedicate a whole episode to like wild stories that happened.
Yeah, you and I have got a lot of them.
Yes, that's true. Okay. Let's move on to our next hotel topic here. Cause we got some fun things we got mm-hmm. more to cover. So I thought this was really interesting. Oh, and if Adele is still on, this is so your area, by the way, New hotels are have been ranked recently for their online reputation. And this is interesting. So this company called are you familiar with this?
I don't know.
S-O-C-I. Wow. And they went ahead and they rated hotel companies based on their online reputation and everything from like how often they responded to guest reviews and or complaints, their genuineness in their responses. Fascinating. Top of the list, Hyatt and Hilton Garden Inn landed the top. But I think the part that I found the most interesting was they rated on a scale of 100 and they got the highest scores at 69 out of 100.
That is no bueno.
That's like bananas. I mean, look, if we're going to go on like the traditional like grading scale of what we did in school, I'm like, that's an F.
Yeah, it's not good. And just to win and be like, we won and we got a 69 out of 100.
Like,
we did great. What about, but they beat out other companies, yeah, right? Like Marriott, yeah, got a 68. Intercontinental, yeah, got a 68. And, you know,
Westin, 67.
That's crazy. Super 8, last place, Super 8. Come on, Super 8. We can help you out. 39.
So
it's just amazing to see because now we all live in an online world. And so if we're not responding quickly, you know, like I'm not going to call out the hotel. You and I can talk offline because I want to learn this concierge stuff. I'm hoping my emails just went to junk mail, but I'm staying at a hotel for New Year's Eve and I've been writing to the concierge with no answer. So I'm going to call them today.
No, say, hey, you need to call.
I'm saying it's in junk mail, but that's the kind of stuff maybe that, you know, I'm doing everything they asked me to do.
Yeah.
And no one's responding to me. But I also see when we're responding to people's comments, I think that's a big one that they also measure is a lot of people just copy and paste. Like, thank you so much for your feedback. We'll let the team know.
So fun fact, I actually used to respond to the TripAdvisor reviews of one of my last properties that I worked at on behalf of the hotel, which was interesting because like I wasn't an official manager. Like, but I would just like respond because they're like, oh, you're eloquent and you're good at responding. The joke is I can apologize for anything. I will apologize for the sky being blue. Like it's okay. And I mean it, but I'm also like, whatever. So I would write all of these responses and every so often I'd have a little bit of fun with it. You know, somebody was complaining about the cost of sour cream being too expensive, like on the room service menu. And I'm like,
yep.
Well, I'm sorry that you found the price of the sour cream to be too expensive on the room service menu.
It's organic and handmade. Yes. That's why.
You didn't have to order it. In fact, caloric value. Anyway.
But Adele's saying, you know, copy and paste is worse than no response. And she has some other comments here too. But Adele, I think you're right. Like I would rather get a genuine response than seeing that copying and pasting the same thing to everybody. Because there's so many automated tools out there. Just even if you're using automated tools, switch them up a little bit. Make sure people feel like they're seeing because public responses.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's your brand. It's how you respond, being genuine about it. Also, I mean, I'm not saying to necessarily do it all depends on your brand, but I will say I've also been impressed by brands that, because we do know that people do write some pretty absurd reviews. And so if you've got somebody that has a way to even craft a kind of like tongue-in-cheek response, carefully, I do say this carefully, because obviously you do want it to seem genuine, but oh man, when those can happen, those zingers, like I love that. I love that because some reviews are just like, really, bro? Like, why'd you leave your house? Like,
yes. Especially for some of these like smaller boutique mom and pop hotels, I really feel for they're putting all their energy into that place. And then you just have someone who's just in a bad mood and writes a scathing review, even though everything went really well. It can really hurt people out there.
Yep. And then going back to Jeremy's comment from earlier, that's just that you've got that crowd. They're just looking for something free.
That's true. And then I have this is not part of our show notes here, but I saw it on LinkedIn the other day.
Yes.
Actually, yesterday, a guy named David Goldstein posted about it, that he went to a restaurant. He was in Seoul, South Korea, looking for a great restaurant to go to, reading all the reviews. And one really stood out because it had 2,000 reviews. And he's like, wow, that's got to be great. 5 stars, 2,000 reviews. I'm going there. And when he sat down at the table, the server came over and said, if you leave a 5-star review now, I'll give you a free appetizer. Right?
Oh.
And so there was a whole comment section about that, of like buying a review. Right. And I said, ooh, I don't love that. I understand that the restaurant, I don't want to hate the player. Maybe you got to hate the game.
I just want to know what the appetizer was.
Yeah, I think it was like some dumplings. He said it was good, but he felt kind of like, oh man, I came here, I mean, out of all places because of this.
I will give a 5-star review for some mozzarella sticks. I'm not going to lie.
So I said, look, maybe they can invite people back with a good, if they leave a good review, then you can invite them back and build your local base with a good free appetizer next time. But
I like that, but pay it forward.
Yeah, the pay it forward, right? A little something for being a good patron, because it's always a squeaky wheel.
Yeah, it is.
The free stuff.
That is for sure. That, I mean, I don't even like to send a dish back if I don't like it. Like that's, but people are, they have no problem sharing whatever the heck they feel. But
it's true.
Whew, it's true. It's definitely interesting. Okay, travel topics. Let's keep this train moving.
Let's do it.
Found this fascinating. I definitely want to do more of a deep dive into this, and I will be. Mm-hmm. So it's come out that 2024 might be the year of surprise travel, which is interesting. The recent study that was done, I believe by Hopper, more than half of travelers would pack their bags, head to airport, and fly to an unknown destination. Oh, actually, it was booking.com. Sorry. They found that, I mean, basically, people are ready to just go and travel. Like they want to, like, they don't want to even plan. It's like, tell me where we're, like, I will find out where we're going when we get on the plane. What do you think about this?
Well,
oh, you don't,
it's a little
like
scary. It's a little scary to me. I used to like doing last minute trips where it was like, all right, where haven't I been? Like before I had kids, my wife and I would say, all right, we haven't been to this city. Let's go. And then we would land hotel tonight at, find a random room, done without planning. Just like we did it on a Friday. We would show up at the airport Friday night and see where we're going. But not knowing where you're going is a little scary. Like,
right?
Not to hate on any cities or states, but there's certain places like I really wouldn't want to go to. If I knew it was like in a pool, like here's the top 25 places and you might end up at one of these and it's a discounted rate, I would do that.
Wow. Interesting.
Right?
I would go. And I think my reason now, it's so fascinating because of being a concierge for so long, I planned so many of other people's trips. And I'm very lucky now that most 99% of the trips that I go on for, whether I'm working with a destination, whether I'm working with a hotel, they honestly plan the itinerary. And half the time, even though they might send it to me the day before this, I'm like, oh, I'll figure it out when I get there. And I love that because I don't need... In my mind, and maybe it's the concierge brain of me that it's like knowing how well I would try to curate experiences for other people. I have this blind trust that I'm like, they're going to try to show me the best of the best of whatever that destination is. Mm-hmm. And you just go in, and I go in with no expectations. And almost every single time I'm blown away. Like, I mean, I remember ending up in Nicaragua. I got asked last minute, hey, do you want to go to Nicaragua? And I was Nica who? Kidding. I knew what Nicaragua was and where it was. But I was like, Nicaragua was nowhere near on my list. Ended up being one of the most epic trips ever. I got to like, you know, hike a volcano. Like it was so cool. And it was because I kind of said yes to something that was last minute. Now, granted, I knew how to pack.
You knew, yes, and you knew where you were going.
Yeah.
I like this idea. I do like it now. As I'm talking to you more, yes, oh, I would like some surprises if I knew some kind of parameters.
Well, I mean, I would like to know so I'm not packing for like going to Mexico when I'm ending up in Antarctica.
Yes. And listeners and viewers, right, if you're live, would you do this? Give us a little happy face or sad face emoji to let us know. Happy face you go, sad face you don't want to go.
Look at you with the emojis.
Let's see who's going where.
How 2024 of you.
Oh, we gotta do a little bit more deep dive into this. I think it could be fun.
I think it would be a lot of fun. Definitely. So yeah, I think it's a cool trend. It's pretty awesome. By the way, there are also even full businesses, travel agencies that it's like, I forget the name of the one that they had talked about that literally you book a whole vacation with them and then you find out whether it's the day before going to the airport, etc. I think it's pretty neat. Yeah. So
Giordani said she would do it.
Yeah.
Ooh, people, a lot of smiling faces.
Emojis.
Coming through.
Okay. Love that you guys like the emojis. Yeah, let us know. That's a good one.
All right. I think maybe we plan our own. We can surprise everybody and they can meet us somewhere for a live show.
Maybe. I'm into it. Okay. Ooh, I thought this was kind of interesting. We got holiday travel. We are in the thick of things. We are in the wait, what day of Hanukkah are we at?
We are on, today's seven? The sixth night, seventh night. Yeah, tomorrow's the last night.
By the way, I have to say, I'm very proud that I've gone to different Hanukkah parties and it's come up multiple times in conversation. And every single time I have been correct on the night of Hanukkah that it was.
I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of me too, actually. With, you know, obviously we're here in the December holidays, you've got Christmas coming up, people have off, whether they're celebrating, et cetera. And people are traveling. By the way, before we get into this, we're going to talk about the worst U.S. airports for winter travel disruption. So if you're listening, I'm going to tell a quick story about how much it's going to something is going to cost, but what do you think is the worst airport to travel through during the winter holidays, like through December? Like what has maybe the most delays? What do you think is at the top of this list? So tell us what you think.
I'm flying. I'm flying during this time. I'm a little nervous.
No. Okay, wait. So I was like debating on a last minute trip to possibly go see my family in Pennsylvania. Allentown, Pennsylvania. It would be $5,000. To go from Los Angeles to Allentown in Comfort Plus or $4,300 in first class. And I was like, I love you guys, but not that. It's insane. So yeah, okay. So people are saying Chicago, Atlanta, LAX. Okay, you know, we don't need to make money. First of all, the problem that LAX is not necessarily having flights taking off. It's actually getting to the terminal because there are so many cars there. You can miss your flight just trying to drive through the airport.
It's unbelievable.
I said it. Okay. So you guys have said some. We said Chicago, Atlanta, LAX. Kinda. Chicago's a good one because they got some weird weather. You want to say a couple of the ones that are top of the list here?
Well, let's see. I'm going through the article here. I'm seeing Denver. I don't know all the letters here. MCO is which one? Is that Orlando?
Orlando. Oh, I can play this game with you. I'm good at this game.
Yeah. LAS.
That's Las Vegas.
DFW, DC, Fort Worth, Dallas, Fort Worth.
Right? Oh my gosh, you were never a concierge booking.
No, I never booked any of these. And JFK, I know, is New York. So we'll be among the nation's busiest airports this winter.
Chicago, MDW.
Mm-hmm. And Chicago, they're saying. So travelers should anticipate potential disruptions when flying out of Chicago, Dallas, Chicago Midway and Dallas Love Field and Dallas Fort Worth International also rank among the worst, with anywhere from 20 to 25% of flights being disrupted. So
even now, I thought these were fascinating. BWI Baltimore, which I find interesting because I don't know that it would be. I mean, I guess weather. It's Baltimore is this interesting city that it's like it kind of gets colder weather. It's kind of like the North, but it's not the North.
So I'm going to DC for New Year's Eve with the family. And I'm a little nervous because I see that's kind of in that range.
Yeah, you need to watch out. Next week, I'm flying into, also on this list, which I found surprising, Fort Lauderdale. I am flying into Fort Lauderdale next week.
Yeah, you got to come on down to MIA. You come down to the Miami.
Oh,
come on down this time.
I know.
Fort Lauderdale is good. I like it. It's a good airport, but it's very packed.
It is packed. It's going to be a busy holiday season. And by the way, if people have not already bought their plane tickets, it is expensive.
Yeah, I was shocked. A family of four. I don't even want to say the price because it's just nuts. Like the whole hotel stay is cheaper than the flight.
I believe that. Actually, it's nuts. I believe that. Did you tell your kids, sorry, you're not going to college?
Yeah, pretty much. So we're going to start selling some stuff. We're going to sell some Biscayne coffee to make up for
Yeah. Ooh, sorry about that cough there. Yes. No, exactly. It's crazy times. Okay. Wow. How have we already gone through so much of this show?
I don't know. I like hanging out with you. We're already at 30 minutes, guys.
I know. I like hanging out with you. I like hanging out with everybody online. It's like, it's a whole thing. Let's go to real-time recap. What did you find out there? In the field.
One way different than normal. It was not a hotel, not a restaurant, not a vacation rental. This was a hardware store. So this weekend, I was doing some DIY stuff in my place, which I am not great at. I started doing some how-to on TikTok, and I learned how to do a couple things, and I needed some tools.
Stop it. You didn't even watch YouTube. You watched TikTok.
No, I go to TikTok way better. I'm telling all the listeners out here, how-to videos on TikTok. Very quick, efficient. And my daughter and I went over to the hardware store, told the guy what I wanted to do, and with a smile, I was like, oh, you should use this. And I was like, showing me around, gave me all the tools I needed. I was like, should I get this one? He's like, no, that's too expensive. You could do the same thing with this one, and you're going to be on your way. And answered all my questions, and was like, really just amazing, you know, at Ace Hardware Store. So usually I go to Home Depot or one of the big ones. Great. This was a small one in the neighborhood. Awesome. So it just shows you good hospitality, probing questions, giving me value. Awesome hospitality at the Ace Hardware Store in Miami.
It's so, and you know, that honestly is inspiration for my next book when I can sit down long enough to write it. Mm-hmm. It's amazing where you can find wonderful hospitality in the most unusual places. And I think that that's what's so cool about just the nature of hospitality. It's not limited to just hotels or restaurants, but like you can really experience it everywhere, which is why I love when we do our real-time recap, because like,
yeah. And I go out looking for it now, thinking about the show.
Oh, do you? Yeah. You're like, I'm on the hunt for some good hospitality. Maybe not in that tone.
Yeah, it's a little creepy. A little creepy.
You're like, Sarah, that was a little bit too much. Rein it back in. I'm trying to think of, this is a little bit of a separate thing, but a side note. A bit about how like the hospitality family or the hospitality world is like family. So bit of difference, but it was this reminder about like, it's again, it's how you make people feel. And I went on Monday night, I was invited to a concierge holiday party. So it's all the local concierge in Los Angeles. And I don't work at a hotel anymore, so I'm not technically part of this organization, but they so graciously were like, come on down, it's Studio 54 theme. And like walking in, it just like felt like coming back home. And all of these people, all of these concierge, and they all work at different hotels. One works at the Four Seasons. Somebody works at the Peninsula. Somebody works at the Viceroy. They work at the Marriott, whatever it is. And it's like, we were still able to come together. And then also all the different businesses. You've got, you know, the car rental companies. You've got the limousine companies, the tours, whatever. And it just like, it's this camaraderie and this like, and that to me is, I love that we are able to have that even in that organization, because then that just shows you that like hospitality is really running through our veins. And it was so fun. And I felt like I was back and reunited with my people.
Sounds yeah. So it's weird. Like we miss it too. I think we miss it. Like you miss that part of the second addiction hospitality, 100%. Especially being on the team.
100%. I so miss going into a hotel and doing work. By the way, now everybody's going to be like, you're looking for a job.
Yeah.
I told former bosses I would be a high maintenance hire. I got a really wild schedule.
You have to let us do our podcast. You have to let us do our articles. You can't be blocked. I don't want a corporate marketing telling me to take it down.
Oh my God. No, definitely not. So yeah, definitely interesting. That was a weird segue there, but yeah, I don't know. It's kind of cool. So as we wrap up, because the time is a ticking, our hospitality quote for this segment, would you like to read that?
Absolutely. True hospitality is a delicate balance of warmth and form, by Sheila Ostrander. Beautiful quote.
I love this because, again, it's what struck me with that is that it's obviously the warmth is how you're making people feel. Mm-hmm. But then the form is you have to be consistent because it's also you're also a product. So it's an interesting balance that like you have to consistently knock it out of the park, consistently make people feel warm, special, et cetera. But, you know, consistency requires a form.
It does. And it requires training. And I keep telling hotel and hospitality companies, keep focusing on training, keep investing in your team, and it'll pay off in rewards.
100%. Oh my gosh, we got all the warm and fuzzies so early in the morning. This is crazy.
Feels good. It's a good way to start the day.
This is a good way. There's a reason why we are 116 on the Apple podcast list.
That's right.
Business news. Boop. Mic drop. So that being said, please continue to support us, also the Monday crew. If you listen to it, first of all, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Just help us like reach higher numbers. That would mean so, so much. It's the season of giving support your friends.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're going to ask you. You all pause this episode. If you're not watching live, subscribe, leave a comment, 5 stars. It's a big help. But only if you feel like we're giving value. We're not selling our reviews here. Right, Sarah?
I am. That'll be 5 mozzarella sticks.
Yes, 5 mozzarella sticks and a free dumpling for anyone that gives a 5-star review today.
Wow, that is definitely some sort of Italian, Asian mix that I don't know if my stomach would
Italian
like.
Italian-Asian fusion. I like it.
Ooh, fancy. Oh, my gosh. Wow, we're not opening up a restaurant anytime soon, obviously. No. Okay, so that being said, fun episode, as always.
I loved it, and I'm excited to see you next week. We need to get us a sign-off here, so we need to work on that.
Yeah, we do need to get us a sign-off. Like, we can do, I don't know, something.
Until next week, stay classy. Or some music, I don't know.
Stay
classy, San Diego.
Stay classy. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay, we'll come up with that.
Oh, we got some music on the background. Here we go.
Whoop, whoop,
whoop. Will's playing with it. All right, we'll sign off with some music today with our background team making it happen. Thank you.
See you guys next week. Woo!